Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Oh, no, we're on Zoom again.
Oh.
Yeah, we're back. That's okay.
Has everybody recovered from the effects of the weekend?
No.
No.
Barely.
Music. And welcome to another exhausted episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country that should, I don't know. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
I'm tired.
We really are at the end of the Eurovision season, aren't we?
Yeah.
PED, yeah. PED, y'all. It's the struggle is real.
We have a lot of fun stuff to talk about from the final. Did you guys hear that Italy won?
No.
What?
Italy won what?
Italy 1, France 0. Got him. Sam, hit him with the socials.
You could follow all of our wonderful and terrible jokes over at 12 Points USA on Facebook or Twitter. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us, you can scope out our Redbubble, get some sweet, sweet merch while you're at it. Just hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. How can we make this show better? How can we make this worse? We'll figure it out together.
Yes, help us make the show worse.
Together.
It's going far too well.
We actually have gotten a fair amount of suggestions just after the contest, including one question that we think we are going to do a proper episode inspired by. We will give that question a shout out when we come to that episode, but do let us know. Do yell at us, because we might just yell back.
Yeah, I say to that question, yes. I really am exhausted, you guys. Like, normally I'm this tired and this, like, emotionally bereft after Eurovision because I'm jet lagged. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just realizing it's not the jet lag. This is going to happen to me whether I'm here or there. I'm just going to be...
Turns out jet lag isn't real, which is an interesting revelation.
Everyone is very suggestible when they're in a high oxygen environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you tomato juice tasting good. What?
Yeah, you feel like crap, don't you? Yeah. Actually, yeah, I do. I feel like crap.
Let's talk about the first things first concerning the final. That is both dumb news and fake news. I'm convinced the only reason that this was a thing was because one person on Twitter was like, look at what it looks like. And then Eurovision then had to do something about it. So there was a bunch of people on Twitter who basically thought that there was a shot of the green room during ESC that looked like Damiano was just ripping a big snort of Coke off the table. And anyone who has seen the clip is like, this is nowhere near close to what, you know, I've seen Scarface twice and this doesn't look like that. It was just a broken glass. And then Damiano did a drug test and there is no drugs. And he said there were no drugs. And I understand that Damiano and the rest of Måneskin are absolutely wild children. But I don't think they're as wild as let's do coke on international live TV.
I believe Damiano himself says, I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid.
Which is a very Italian way of approaching the situation.
Yes.
Noted performance enhancing drug, cocaine.
Cocaine, yeah. Works for Tim Allen.
No, he sold cocaine.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Get your facts straight.
Danny, you never get high on your own supply. Podcast. We all know this.
Yes, that's right.
Keep telling me.
Like, this was so ridiculous from the get-go. And honestly, I think if that one, I'm not saying that it shouldn't have been asked about or anything like that, I guess. But I do feel like if that, I think it was a Swedish journalist in the winner's press conference just had to ask about it, like right from the start, nobody would care. I am mildly annoyed that the EBU gave this the time of day because it was just so patently ridiculous.
It did kind of Streisand effect the whole thing a little bit. Yeah. It's like, I don't think it would have caught any steam or any wind if it hadn't been asked. I can understand the point of view. It's like, well, as a journalist, is it the responsibility to ask about something that may be coming up and that may become a point of question and, you know, allow Måneskin to diffuse it at that moment? Or are you just fanning the flames? And I think that the fact that Damiano himself stepped up and says, you know what, I'll take a test. And the EBU just didn't have the resources at that moment to administer one at that moment.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's, Yeah, exactly. Like, you're...
We have other things to test.
Right! Exactly!
Yeah.
But what if it had come back positive? Maybe he didn't do drugs during the show.
There, but... Like...
It stays honestly, in your system thinking, for a while. I was like, wait, what if it does come back positive? Then what?
But the thing is, like, what are they going to do? It's not... that's not grounds for... expulsion. That's not grounds for for vacating the victory of Måneskin.
They could.
It's really just, not.
I guess.
They could come in and be like, "This, you do not represent us if this is how you are. You
true,
know,
true.
You're disqualified."
But Italy's...
I'm not saying they should, but, you know, I think they'd be well within their rights to respond if a contestant got drunk and then crashed a car or got into a fight at the after party and beat someone up. You know, the EBU could come in and say, yeah, no, we're not going to support this behavior. You're out.
Yeah. Mm.
Where's that John's tears? I gotta tell him something. And then just, yeah. That's an interesting question. I guess, we'll never know. But yeah.
I certainly hope that never happens.
Right.
But there was a small part of me that was like, oh, they're testing a musician for drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like...
They're testing a rock musician for... It's not like they're testing John Denver.
I mean, it's, I don't know how long. Well,
I mean, Rocky Mountain High,
system.
Buddy. Rocky Mountain High.
I guarantee you, John Denver did more coke than anyone in Måneskin has.
He's had more time.
True. But also, I guarantee it.
It's dumb. It was a dumb story. It was a dumb episode, particularly because it was not, it was about something that didn't happen.
I just feel like the victory for Måneskin has now been sort of kind of tainted. Like, they weren't allowed to enjoy their moment. And they mean the fact that kind of took some of the thunder away from them. It's like, okay, Italy takes a trophy. Oh my god, what if they did drug? Like, this made news. Like, I saw this as a headline on international news of Måneskin lead singer being tested for. It was BS, and it was unnecessary.
I was glad that the EBU statement, when they finally said we consider the matter closed, to basically acknowledge that this
the
was
tone
really
was very
stupid.
Much like, yeah, the tone was very much like, I can't believe we had to do this.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And it just, it struck me as perhaps people who didn't like the song, who were a bit vindictive and just wanted to be like, oh, rock boy does drugs. And look what happened. Like, this sucks for them. I don't know that the win is tainted necessarily. And I hope that as more time goes by, this will be very much a minor footnote in the whole saga of the 2021 contest. It's, but man,
more just an annoyance for them at this point.
Yeah.
This is not what they should be spending their time on.
No, they should be spending their time celebrating the fact that their song is huge now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it is.
Speaking of.
It really is. It has hit the top 10 on the Spotify global charts, which is incredible. Not just for a Eurovision song, but for a song in Italian. Really, it's an accomplishment for any song. But for a song in a language other than English to come through the Eurovision system and have this massive, massive success. And they're not the only ones. It looks like Shum, in particular, has had some major, major success on the global viral charts, which, again...
Number one.
Yeah. For a song in Ukrainian...
I think it's the standout song of the competition just because no one expected techno folk to, you know.
We did. Yeah. We knew it was damn good.
Yeah. The first song in Ukrainian to hit either of these charts at all.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Which is really, really cool. It topped the viral chart. Number two, by the way, I thought this was interesting. It's Castaway Song by the Backyardigans. Just a children's TV show.
What?
Yeah.
Junior Eurovision isn't for another 6 months, people.
Yeah. What an achievement.
Chill out.
Another fun fact I saw. When ZTA Boni made the top 10 of the Global 200, you know what the second highest Eurovision song was on the chart at the same time?
Was it Arcade?
It's Arcade.
Yeah.
which is still in the top 40.
The dunk cannot be stopped.
Yeah.
He really cannot.
So congrats to them. That's amazing. Also found out a tweet from the folks at Duolingo that since Saturday, since the win, 56% increase in people learning Italian.
I'm one of them.
That's crazy. That is super, super, super cool.
Just for them to find out what the word coglione means.
And Sam, you noted during the
encore, going for a while.
During the encore, they went for the original lyrics.
They sure
yes,
did.
They did.
Yeah.
And actually, I got word from a friend of mine who was watching the Australian, or secondhand information from a friend who was watching the Australian replay. They actually ended up bleeping the reprise in the Australian replay because they show it live and then they show it, you know, on a delay a couple hours later because not everybody wants to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning just to watch the contest. Mm-hmm. So they did actually bleep the Italian version on Australian TV.
Honestly, that's arguably a bigger scandal than the Coke thing, and it's still not a scandal. It's dumb.
It's just saying balls. Balls, yep. balls. Coglioni, coglioni, coglioni.
Coglioni. We can say balls on our show. Yep. Take that, Australia. Anyway, so Italy won. A lot of other interesting things happened in the final. It's been a few days. We're recording this on a Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And I am curious for all of you, what are your other big takeaways right now? What are your other feelings about the final since we've had a couple of days to process it? And
remarkably uneventful. Like, it went surprisingly smooth, considering all of the strangeness, considering, like, say, Iceland. You know, the last bit of the contest, it was like this has always been this way, you know?
It did feel very natural, very organic.
Counting up the results, it was like there was no reason to think anything was amiss, you know, aside from a couple of mentions of
this past year has been crazy.
Oh, Eric, do you have something caught in your throat?
Oh, yeah, just a bit of Moldova. It's fine. Yeah.
Do you have a little bit of Philip in your throat? A little Kierker cough?
I don't know.
Glad to see him there at the ceremony with hair bleached white like Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
That's what that reminded me of. I couldn't put my finger on it. Thank you, Danny. Oh, you poor unfortunate soul.
With his fingers tented, like, yes, I own Natalia's soul, yeah.
He's Italian for the purpose of this joke.
Yeah.
Derek, how about you?
I was surprised at how unsurprising the results were, which is kind of a weird thing to say, but when it came down to it, it's like, yeah, Italy first, France second, Switzerland third. Kind of what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the only real outlier from the odds was Malta.
Yeah. Malta with a disappointing finish instead.
Which, granted, in the great grand scheme of things, seventh place for Malta is still an exceptional result. They should be absolutely super proud of their jury score, which was, what, third place with the juries? And Destiny is still only 18 years old. She has no expiration date, you know? She is an incredibly talented artist. I think she'll be back. She deserves more opportunities, and she deserves the long and fruitful career that I'm sure she's going to have. This is one moment in her trajectory, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For me, the thing that I was so happy to see was just the diversity of the songs that did well. And especially considering what people who aren't like obsessed with Eurovision like we are, people who see it from the outside think, oh, it's Eurovision, all this, you know, pop, you know, fluffy, you know, disposable, like girls in skinny dresses and, you know, dancy, dancy, dancy. But the depth and the breadth of the genres that we saw, the languages that we heard, the vibes that each one of these songs gave off, it was more than what people, I think, had bargained for. And I think especially there's an influx now, especially of Americans watching it for the first time, that maybe they're seeing it with eyes more similar to ours than as opposed to like the average British audience, which is just, oh, the image of the contest from 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the top five, we had hard rock, we had chanson, we had, I guess art pop, what would you call Jean's tears? Like art balladry?
Art it's school sad boy.
It's just a powerful pop song, but it's definitely pop.
Yeah. Then ethno folk. And we had and Dadi, which is, you know, this organic electronic pop that's just pure joy.
Disco throwback.
Yeah. And we had emo, and we did have the pop, but we had a little bit of everything and a wide variety rose to the top. And I was so, so happy to see that it just proves that there is no specific genre that is Eurovision. Everything can be Eurovision and everything can excel if it's good.
I'm also kind of thankful to see that two rock songs could exist in the contest and not eat each other. That there was a concern that, oh, they're going to siphon votes off of one each other and they're not going to do it. It's like first and fourth in the televote it's kind of shocking. Like, they didn't cannibalize each other. They were both able to succeed on their own.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was not too shocked by that, because these are two subgenres of rock that are quite distant from each other. They have about as much in common as, you know, any pop song might have with another song.
But for, like, the layperson to come into this.
True.
They're not going to be like, oh, this is glam rock and this is emo rock or whatever. They're just going to be like, well, that's the one rock song and that's the other rock song.
And just give hear some Derek pushing up his metaphorical glasses on his nose as he says that.
Like, we could have, like, we had two French songs lead the jury vote and do fairly well in the televote. I think there's always, I feel like this conversation comes up every year where it's like, oh, there's these two songs that are similar and they're going to eat each other. And they're both going to suffer as a consequence. And I don't.
Or you can like both.
True. Yeah, I don't think that's entirely true. I think a lot of people voted for Italy and Finland.
Right. I mean, you're not limited to it. Yeah, you're generally not limited to a single vote. I mean, different countries have different setups, but
yeah,
you know, if you have a pool of five votes, you know, you could spread them around, and people do.
Eric, I have to ask: do we have any real chestnuts from the Statmotron?
Oh my God, do we
ever? Now that it has been updated with input from this year.
I have a few. I have a bunch, actually. Just kind of ranging from the contest itself to Italy's win to some things about... I'm always curious about, like, countries that get votes from everyone. It's always an interesting stat because it usually means doing well. It doesn't necessarily mean doing great. And there are a few kind of cool cases of that. So
before you ease into it, I do want to say we might have a couple of listeners who are new, just because, you know, you're listening right after the contest. Statmotron is just what we call Eric's enormous god-awful spreadsheet with everything statistical about Eurovision.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is enormous and it is god-awful. That is entirely accurate. So first thing I noticed putting everything in, this was the first Eurovision final ever to be held on a May 22nd.
Okay.
First time that has ever happened. Only eight Eurovisions have been held later in the year than this. Most recently, I think 2015 was on May 23rd.
Ooh.
But yeah, pretty much every date surrounding it had come up at least once. This was the first May 22nd to have a Eurovision. Huh. So congratulations to Rotterdam, I guess. That's really, it gets better, I promise.
May 22nd is now declared Eurovision Day in Rotterdam. Yeah, all right.
That's right.
Wow.
Regarding Italy's win, we've talked on previous episodes, I don't know which ones, just listen to them all, you'll find it, about gauging a win not on how many points it had, but how dominant it was in terms of the percentage of points it could have possibly gotten.
Sure. Hmm.
And Italy's win got 57.46% of the points it could have possibly had. That is pretty good under the current system. It's actually the second highest that we've had under this system after Salvador, who got 700 something points, which was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Both Toy and 1944 had higher point totals than CTA Boni did, but they did it in years that had more countries. So when you factor in how many points it could have gotten, CTA Boni did a little bit better than even either of those.
And 2018 was a big year. What was that, 43 countries?
Something like that. It was pretty.
Montenegro and Hungary were in that one.
Oh, they were in 2019 as well, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, 39 is actually the lowest it's been for a little bit. The winning song was in position number 24. That is the latest by number in terms of running order that a winner has ever been. Nothing after 24 has ever won. Granted, for most of the history of the contest, there hasn't been a final that long. Yeah. There have only been two other winners from 24, Dima Bilan's Believe and Love Shine a Light was also 24.
Interestingly enough, next year we will have a 25 song final.
That's right. Because there won't be a...
We got a big five who is the host country.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that'll be similar to the 2011 contest, I suppose, where it was held in Germany. It was held in a big five country. Yeah.
In the deuce.
So the show was Italy 3 minutes back? Shorter.
Now Italy was back though. That was their first year dipping their toe back in the pool.
So there was a big five, not a big four.
Yes.
For that. Oh, that's correct. Cool. So they went from having a big four plus one to a big five.
Yay.
France's 499 is the third highest point total of any second place finisher of all time. The other two are
Beautiful
predictably
Mess.
Both Chris, fairly recent. Chris, Beautiful Mess is one of them. Second highest scoring Eurovision song of all time and just happened to be the same year as the song for the first highest. So that sucks.
Rumble.
Yep. And the other second placer to get 500 or more points.
Wouldn't be Fuego, would it?
No. Fuego didn't do that well.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually kind of surprised. Fuego was in
It wasn't Mahmood last year, was it?
Nope. No, Mahmood was in the, I think, 470 range, and Fuego was actually in like the 430s range.
Lower than I would have thought. Was it Sound of Silence?
Sound of Silence is the one. As
a was Sound of Silence? Oh.
Because yep. they killed Sound of Silence. The jury vote.
Yeah, she did. Gotta love Dami.
Yeah. Pretty amazing the scores that got, and it didn't win. But the same could be said for Barbara this year, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at countries that got votes from everyone, like I mentioned, Semi won from the jury. Malta got points from everyone. Actually got at least 5 points from every country.
Wow.
Which is pretty darn good. It won the jury as a result. As you can imagine, it also won the semi overall. They're the only ones to get points from every country in the jury vote from that semi. Another country that got close, only blanked by one other country, Sweden, believe it or not. Didn't do so well in the final, but it did get points from everybody except Slovenia. Slovenia wasn't that into it,
They finished seventh in their semi.
Mm-hmm. And sixth in the jury vote.
And they got points from everyone and still got that low?
Mm-hmm.
I guess if they get ones and twos and threes.
Well, there's a lot of that. Shout out to everyone's eighth favorite song. Sweden. among the public votes, Malta again got points from everyone, but they weren't the only country to do that. Ukraine also got points from everyone in the public vote in that semi, and they finished with more points overall than Malta did. They won the public vote in the semi, which is so cool. For a song that like really on its surface you would think is not anywhere near as accessible as it ends up being.
Yes, you would think it would be very polarizing.
Right.
Yeah.
Not at all. People really loved it. Russia also got points from every country.
Hmm.
Cyprus also got points from every country, but...
Well, yes, they were tiny, weren't they?
Only one of them was more than 6 points.
Ooh.
That's really weird, I found. Usually, if you get points from everywhere, it's a little bit all over the place, or if you're really dominant, they're... you know, six and up almost entirely. This one was six and below, except for one country that gave them a 12.
Which was?
I didn't write it down.
Scrolling down and finding out right now.
Yeah, good idea.
Slovenia.
Ah, Slovenia.
Oh, Slovenia gave them a 12.
Speaking of Slovenia, they were the only country whose televote gave no points to Lithuania and the only country whose televote gave no points to Israel.
Sorry,
they otherwise got points from everyone.
Sorry, it was Malta who didn't for televote.
Oh,
it was Malta. The only one that gave him 12. Slovenia, the jury gave him 12.
That's right.
Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. In the second semi, here's a fun fact. I don't have full semi info for a couple of more recent years, so I will double check this and see how rare this is. But the top 10 in the jury in semi 2 were the 10 that qualified. That is the only instance of that this year in terms of a top 10 vote matching the actual qualifier list. Bulgaria and Portugal got votes from every country in the semi-2 jury, despite finishing only second and fourth in the jury vote, respectively. Switzerland won the jury vote despite getting no points from Greece or from Bulgaria.
Come on, guys.
So you mentioned that... the jury coincided with the actual qualifiers. If it was just the televote, who would have been in and who would have been out?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. So
we didn't plan that for the record.
Of course not.
Yeah. So in semi two, there were four countries that got votes from everyone: Finland, Switzerland, Iceland, Bulgaria. Bulgaria only finished sixth in the televote despite getting votes from every country. Countries that got all votes from every country but one: Portugal. And believe it or not, Denmark.
Oh.
Denmark finished eighth in the public vote. If it had been just televote, they would have been through comfortably. However, they got 15th in the jury. They got 9 points.
Unfortunately, when we hand it over to the experts, they
they saved us from ourselves.
Throw it in the toilet. Yeah.
Yep. 9 jury points for Denmark, and they finished 11th. And it wasn't particularly close between 10th and 11th. Also in semi two, one song got 0 televote points.
I saw this, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
Benny.
Yeah, Benny. So sad. Czech Republic deserved way better. I mean, it deserved better staging too, but it should have gotten some love. Back in semi one, televote points being low news. Australia got 2. Ireland got 4. Ireland. What with the book and stuff? 4. It was last place.
If we're talking about the semis, I'll say Ireland, in retrospect, it just didn't come together. And I'm surprised it came last. I'm not at all surprised it didn't qualify, though.
Yeah, in hindsight. But
yeah, I'm not surprised it didn't qualify. I think it would be fair to say that I think it did come together decently well.
Just not enough.
I think her singing clearly was still, I don't know, it didn't seem like she had a good handle on it the way others did.
I'll have to look at it again sometime, maybe a few weeks or even a month or two from now with the benefit of more hindsight, just because maybe in my head I was comparing it to what it looked like in the early rehearsals, which was bad. Like, it was really rough for the first rehearsal or two. And compared to how it ended up on stage, it honestly looked really great. But maybe watching it a while later, I'll see things and be like, oh, okay, yeah, that didn't actually
Leaps and Bounds better, yes, but I remember watching it with kind of the online press commentary on the side, and someone had said, it sounds like she doesn't have enough time to finish each verse while she's singing it. Like, she's kind of rushing through it and cutting herself off a bit. And I just kind of listened to it. I'm like, yeah, it sounds like she's a little rushed through the entire thing. And it was, and after I thought about that, it was really distracting.
Fair enough. A couple quick stats on the final. Oh, did you have something else?
I don't want to gangpile on her. I think she did the best she could. I think she was just too ambitious. I don't want to feel like I'm slamming her. Because I like
there are
song
certain songs. Yeah, there are certain songs, and I think the Czech Republic and Ireland really fell victim to this, that can sound amazing in the studio. It can sound amazing on Spotify, but they need to be performed live.
Yeah,
I thought Montaigne sounded fantastic, considering.
Yeah,
sure.
I think that was way better than I expected.
I was not expecting it to sound that good, and I was like, "Oh wow, this is like studio quality." Go ahead.
To Danny's point, yeah, there's. It seems like there's a song or two like that every year. We'll call it the Matter of Time effect.
Oh my god!
An amazing song that just did not work. We could call it the Belgium effect in general, because I feel
they've
had that happen a number of times. Well, Loic did great.
Yeah, he came in fourth. Yeah,
he's the only man to beat it.
I mean, I thought Elliot's Wake Up was a really nice song, but man, that did not work live.
No, unfortunately.
The staging was an issue. His performance was also an issue, honestly.
To borrow a phrase from Eric, a nap you can watch.
The phrase I used was a nap you can listen to, for the record. But
it's multimedia, guys. Multimedia.
What did I say that about? Oh, I said that about Latvia, about Carousel.
Carousel, yeah.
Yeah, that song's fine.
Yeah,
I was needlessly mean to that song. Speaking of needlessly mean, here are some facts about the final. It's not actually mean.
I was gonna say.
No country got points from every jury. Obviously, this is tougher to do in the final because there are a lot more countries voting. Twice as many, basically. But yeah, nobody got points from every country in the jury portion of the vote. 3 countries got points from every televote.
Mm.
Ooh. France?
France. Italy, obviously. Yep. Mm-hmm. And
Finland.
No.
Finland. No. Okay.
Ukraine.
Ukraine got points from everybody. Of course.
Everyone loves
Ukraine. Which is marvelous.
Finland weird enough for everyone.
Yeah. Finland did come close. They got every country but one. Care to guess which country gave them no televote points?
Sweden.
Not Sweden.
Oh.
I mean, they're a neighbor. They
they're a neighbor.
But they're
there's
also
a.
Petty.
Yeah.
I was going to say. Yeah, things still haven't been good after, you know, the 30 years war.
Let's see. Malta.
No.
Australia.
The UK.
No, okay. Not the UK. I'll just tell you.
Israel?
No. Anyone else want to throw like one?
You know, Slovenia seems to be an outliner.
It's not Slovenia.
Is it Estonia? Is it someone nearby who's angry at them?
No, it's Georgia.
Whoa!
Oh, it's Georgia.
Yeah.
Why?
Really?
Because they know what rock music is. I don't know. That's a weird outlier. Obviously, we don't get to see where the rankings were. If they don't get any points, maybe it was 11th or 12th. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We will never know, as far as I know. Kind of like how we talked about in the last show that like the UK probably wasn't last place among a lot of these things. It's just that they never cracked the top 10 for anyone. I did take a look at a few things related to the UK as well. This is just the second time they've gotten nul point.
Yep.
So don't feel too bad for them, I guess. It is the fifth time they've finished in last place. And all five have happened in the last 20 years.
They're gunning for Norway.
I will note the UK has finished second a ridiculous 15 times, which is probably my favorite weird Eurovision stat, because that is such an obscenely high number.
Yep.
For a contest that's been held 65 times, for them to finish exactly second.
We call this the regression toward the mean.
The pendulum just keeps on swinging, you know?
I do have a couple other pieces of random nonsense that I was looking into. Tix's Fallen Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Only the second song in the history of the contest to get exactly 75 points.
Okay.
Huh. Is it
a, what's so special about 75?
A recent
nothing,
one?
Nothing at all. I was looking. This came out of my curiosity of what's the lowest score that nobody's ever gotten.
And I'll
get to that in a second because I did figure it out. The other song to get 75 points is Family Four's Harga Sommardag from Sweden in 1972.
Oh wow!
I mean, it's the same song basically.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell those apart.
I'm the fallen Harga Sommardag. That's how it goes.
You're making your Norwegian ancestors proud, man.
Thank you. Yeah. So again, I was looking into, I found that because I was trying to figure out what is the lowest score that has never happened. I don't know why I wanted to know this. I just did. I'm inspired a little bit, I guess, by there's this thing in football, like pro football, called Scoregami that a sports writer named John Boyce came up with. And it's basically a huge chart tracking which scores have never occurred. Basically, there's this website that tracks every game as it's played to find the likelihood that it will end in a score that has never happened. And as just a weird stats dork, I find it really fascinating. And I thought, well, what if there was a Eurovision score, Gabi? I guess is the idea.
Sure.
Here are some things I found out. The lowest score that has only happened once is 59. That was Yorgunum Anla.
Ah.
It was Turkey's entry in 2000. Only song ever to get exactly 59 points in a final. 95 and 99 have also only happened once. 1997, France. That's Sentiment Song by Fanny. That got 97 or 95. It's the only song that have done that. Only song to get 99, one of my all-time favorites, Higher Ground by Rasmussen. In 2018. So the lowest score that no one has ever gotten is
2.
No. Remember, there were a lot fewer points for a long time. So all of the 4 lower scores are very... very common. No, it's not any of those.
6.
No. I will give you one more guess.
What if I get it?
I don't know. Let's see.
34.
No.
Okay.
It's a 3-digit number.
Oh, okay. All right. What is it? 172.
You have the digits right, but they're in the wrong order. It's 127.
721.
Also has not happened as far as I'm aware. No, 127 has never happened.
All right.
There have been a handful of 126s and a good number of 128s, including 2 winners, Un Banc en Off Un Roux from 71 and Après Toi from 72. Both have both won with 128. Another song that had 128 that isn't very important, but I love bringing it up, is My Friend by Jacques Kudak.
Next fact.
Okay. But no, no one has ever gotten 127 points.
I love challenge accepted.
I love how 128 used to be a winning score, and now we won't even get you on the left side.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Waterloo won with 24, something like that.
Yeah, it was
like
a completely different system.
The win that forced the system that we currently have, as a matter of fact.
Swedes but... keep changing the scoring system.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think my random favorite factoid that I found is that John's Tears is the highest ranking Swiss entry from a singer who was actually born in Switzerland since 1982. There have been Swiss acts who have done that well or better. You know, Celine Dion obviously won in 1988. Annie Cotton came in third place in 93. Daniela Simmons came in second place in 1986. But you have to go all the way back to 1982 to find somebody on the podium for Switzerland who was actually born in Switzerland. Celine Dion and Annie Cotton are both from Quebec, and Daniela Simmons was born in Italy. But Arlette Zola with Amour en Thème, which came in third place in 82, is actually Swiss. She's from Fribourg. So yeah, I find that interesting.
Quebec, one of the most important provinces of Switzerland.
Cantons, man, cantons.
Oh, right. How silly of me.
Also, interestingly enough, this is the year that Finland got its second highest result ever. Sixth place. You know, they obviously won with Lordi in 2006. Sixth place ties their second best result ever. And you have to go back to the early 70s. You would have to go back to Marion Rung's Tom, Tom, Tom back in 1973 to find Finland's other high watermark previous to Lordi. And so Blind Channel equaled that this year. So Finland, keep on trying.
Should also point out this is Portugal's second best result ever after winning it. The highest score.
Oh, highest score, yes. I'm like, they had a sixth placer back in...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. But the second highest score they've ever had.
Yeah, Portugal are finally breaking out of a sort of a sour streak after Salvador. So very happy to see them back in it. But Portugal, they're very hit or miss, aren't they?
They do their own thing, and either people are on board or they're not.
Let's see what happens next year if they pick another English language song, or if they're going to revert back to Portuguese.
Oh,
or
I think they'll go back to Portuguese, you know.
This is a great week.
Yeah, I think we're going to get an effect like Tom Lieb into Barbara Pravi in terms of country-ishness.
Mm.
It's going to come second next year.
I mean, maybe, but they're going to send the most Portuguese thing imaginable. Is my
Works
guess.
For me. I love anything Portuguese. Like, bring on the pastéis de nata and the gingina. I mean, yes.
Do we want to talk at all about the bottom?
I mean, there isn't a ton of data on public vote and so on in this particular format, but 4-0 is very unprecedented. Yeah. We talked about it a bit in the last show too. It was just, it's brutal, especially like the lead up into the fourth one, which was the host country in front of the host crowd. Like, there's no way that there'll be another country with no points. And then it happened.
Yeah, it happened.
And then it just kind of stopped being fun. And I will say, James Newman has handled this whole thing beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
He clapped back at Piers Morgan, which is something we all strive to do. And you know, he was having the time of his life. I saw a post on Reddit or Twitter or something like that was just like, oh, yeah, he was happily drunk by song 10 and he had song 9. he was having a great time and as an embodiment this contest is more than just your score. And yeah, it is a little bit frustrating to see a country with such a rich musical history have these issues where they just can't seem to get points. But you know what? The song was solid and it wasn't great. And I mean, that was its biggest sin. It committed the sin of being a fine song in an insanely strong year.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I think he could absolutely hold set high.
My question, I was kind of thinking about this the other day is, and by the other day, I mean like yesterday, was sort of this, for 1 year we had they would read, so this was 2018, where they read the bottom 16 of the televote in televote order, or I guess it was 17, 18, but they just rattled through them. They didn't pause for each country. And then the next year, they're like, we're going to go country by country. We're going to show everyone's reaction. And we're going to go by what the jury order is top to bottom. Or bottom to top. And I'm wondering, would it be better to go kind of back to that original system where we just kind of rattle off the bottom scores, so we're not like showing everyone's pained reaction when they're told like, oh, you got 3 points or whatever.
I mean, I feel like in Tel Aviv, there wasn't as much of a focus on those low points. They just kind of rolled on and rolled on and rolled on.
Yeah, they didn't show the sisters.
No, they didn't show the sisters.
Nice of them.
Yeah, very, very classy move. But I guess this year, when there are 4 countries with no points, it becomes a talking point within itself. But, you know, they obviously don't know that when they're mapping out the camera angles before the votes come in. It's hard to say. I mean, you get really fascinating moments. Like I think back to 2016 when they were doing that sort of older system, and you had all the votes coming in, and yet there was Poland. There was Michał Szpak, Color of Your Life, just sitting there, even though it was like second to last or super, super low with the jury vote. And nobody was saying anything about what points that they were getting from the televote. And then finally came in like fifth or something like that. And you just see those points just brrrr, and it just rolling up the scoreboard. And that was an incredible moment. I think that if you went specifically in the order of from jury vote from bottom to top, or if you went specifically in televote order from bottom to top, you're going to have a moment where if your winner wasn't the top in either, there's not really a perfect way to do that.
I think about Destiny a lot when they got to her because she was third in the jury.
Oh, God.
There was a huge expectation, especially because she's, you know, the junior champ and everything. And then they read off her points and it was just shockingly low. And I imagine that must have been crushing. And, you know, compare that to everyone's favorite Benjamin Ingrosso, who was second in the jury and got 21 televote points and they didn't even show him. And I just kind of
fourth lowest or something like that. And they just said fourth lowest Sweden. And everyone was like,
yeah,
Chuck Hughes or whatever. And then
imagine if they'd waited till second last and had the camera right on him. And he was like all excited, like, yeah, I got second in the jury. I'm going to kill it in the televote. And they're like 21 points.
Like, ugh.
Let's go to Caesar Samson and see what he got.
Yeah. And I mean, it's tough for the artists that win the jury vote potentially, too. I mean, when it was technically down to Italy and John's tears, it was a little bit anticlimactic because I don't think anybody thought he was going to have enough to overcome that total. And I think, honestly, the same was true for Sweden in 2019, that they put him up there. But we kind of knew, and I hadn't done this, but anybody who had like literally done the math already knew exactly what Sweden was going to get, or even if you didn't, you maybe had a feeling that like, yeah, like, okay, it's technically down to these, but we know who's going to win here. And so if it's about that final moment, then I think what they did 16 through 18 is maybe a bit of a better way of doing it.
Well, with this new showrunner, it might be something that Martin Osterdahl might be considering reverting back to.
I would like it to be exciting. I just don't want it to be cruel. And every now and again, something happens and I'm just like, this feels cruel to me. For the purpose of televised entertainment. And
that is fair. That is true.
I know it came down in 2019. It came down to one of the semifinals with Malta and Armenia. And both those girls were just sobbing, waiting for them to say the last country. And it was Malta. And I just remember thinking to myself, God, this just feels mean. And I know it's random, but Irwin said it's cruel, but it makes for good television. And I'm like, I don't want that.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, if 4 countries get no televote points, I don't know that there is a great way to do it. And hopefully, hopefully that's an outlier. I mean, I guess you could just go in saying 4 countries got no points.
It was almost better that there were 4 of them that got 0 points so that they could all be in their own club.
Yeah, you know? a very, very awkward and strange little fraternity that they find themselves in.
The club that ironically felt hate.
Oh,
the hometown boy too, with a legitimately good song,
legitimately great song, an important song.
Yeah, I could not believe he got 0. Like that was, I'm like, oh, he's probably gonna get something low, and then they were like 0. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'd come to accept that it was gonna struggle, that there were gonna be a lot of people that just didn't get it, but 0, come on.
Yeah,
didn't deserve that. Right. Well,
let's look ahead. I think that it's time to look ahead. I'm ready. I don't think I'll ever truly be ready to close the door on 2021. But now
never
I'm just getting
are on any particular Eurovision.
No, of course not. But I'm so excited for 2022. and what's going to happen. So
yeah, we're
far,
going to Sardinia, baby!
Kasumarzu for everybody!
Yeah, you heard it here first.
So is there any inclination? I mean, is there like a kind of a front runner? I feel like Rotterdam was being tossed around quite a bit.
Yeah, I think so, especially considering that I think that we kind of knew that Amsterdam didn't really want it, and Rotterdam being the second city, and they have the big arena, it totally made sense. At this point, I think... at the time of recording, we've got like 10 different cities that are in tossing their hats into the ring. At the moment, though, among those of us who are having discussions, it seems like three are kind of rising to the top. I'll mention them last, but so far we've had mentions from Florence, Bologna, Pesaro, Verona. That'd be funny. San Remo itself, which would be incredible, but no, because the Ariston Theater can only hold 2,000 people tops, and the press center is tiny. Rimini and Reggio Emilia, which is offering a 100,000 person venue. However, it is all an outdoor amphitheater, which I don't think would fly. However, the three that seem to be rising to the top are Rome, Milan, and Turin. I personally have hotels booked in two out of those three, just in case. Rome, of course, it's Rome. It's the capital. Of course, it's the center of the, you know, the center of the culture. It's just this historic city that I think people would be salivating at the chance to go to if they haven't already. Milan, known as it's this capital of fashion and style. And Torino had the 2006 Winter Olympics. So it's got a lot of the infrastructure, a lot of the hotel space. It's sort of an overlooked city that maybe Rai wants to kind of spread things out a little bit away from the huge cities of Rome and Milan. If I were to guess, I would probably put my money on Torino, but I could totally be wrong. I just think Turin has the largest arena that would be suitable for this. Good public transportation, a lot of hotels that are not completely overpriced.
Major airport?
A minor airport near Turin itself.
Go through Milan, right?
Yeah, and Milan, and Milan is like an hour and a half train right away.
Yeah, it's pretty close to Milan.
Yeah,
you
and
can get
if
anywhere
you're,
in Italy on the train pretty easily.
Yeah, and Turin itself does have a regional airport that will service cities all over Europe. You might not be able to fly, you know, Minneapolis to Turin or anything like that, but connect in Paris, connect in London, connect in Amsterdam. You're fine.
Amsterdam.
Yeah, layover.
Also, for some reason, Sertogenbosch is in the running for this one, too. Gotta get that Cars Jeans arena.
I was really hoping for Bologna because it's a lovely city and some really good food there. I think Rome would be not the most ideal choice because it's so touristy, which makes it a little expensive and a little sketchy.
Especially in spring.
I mean, I've been wanting to go to Italy for ages, so I'm going to Rome on this trip, whether the contest is there or not, but that's neither here nor there, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I might take some extra time and tour around a little bit, depending on which city it is.
You should.
I would love to.
If it ends up being in one of those northern spots, I have been dying to see Ljubljana. And I mean, I could also wait for Slovenia to win Eurovision, which I think will happen at some point, but...
Honestly, if it's in the north... western side, I would totally take a day trip out to San Remo just to pay homage to the city where this all started. I would love to see the Ariston and really kind of tour around there. And supposedly it's a beautiful little town. It's not even really a huge city. It's not very big.
how big/not big is it?
So the city of San Remo is about 55,000, which is certainly not nothing. But compare that to Turin, for example, which has a population of 850,000.
Oh, wow. That's bigger than I thought, honestly.
Yeah. It should also be noted, I don't think we had Naples on the list. Naples are also tossing their hat into the ring. They would be the southernmost city that is currently looking at the moment. Honestly, just send me to Italy. Just pack me up and send me anywhere. I'll make it work.
Oh, I've been to Italy. I've seen everything.
You sound just so jaded.
I am so jaded. I've been to like 12 cities in Italy.
Have you been to Turin?
No.
Well,
we'll see, won't we?
Yeah.
What else do we have looking forward to next year? I mean, you know, Spain's angry. Afrojack is angry? What is this note? No,
he's not angry. He's just excited.
Afrojack wants to be part of the process in one way or another for the Netherlands next year. Huh. I don't know that he's flat out saying like he wants to be in the competition, but he might be. I wouldn't be opposed to that. It worked out so well for Darude, after all.
I was going to say you could team up with Darude.
Yeah. and yeah, Spain has indicated they're going to make some changes to their process, which makes sense. Derek, you had talked about how for as devoted as Spain's fan base is to Eurovision, they just seem to not get these results. So hopefully they can find some changes they can make that are really like actually helpful.
It's a shame too, because Blas Canto is like one of the biggest Spanish pop stars out there. Like, he's huge and he's been around for decades. Like, he's massive, and for him to
decades do... How old is he? Is he one of these Spanish pop stars?
He's like 29. He started
as very young.
He was like he was in one of the biggest boy bands like in history.
Aurin.
I mean, he was massive. He tried out for Junior Eurovision a couple of times. He lost to Better Dead Than Ugly.
Oh my god, that's right.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, he's like, for him to do as badly as he did, I'm sure in Spain he's just huge. Outside of Spain, no one cares, and it's really a shame because like, he is an accomplished singer. He's got albums, he's done tours, he's not a nobody.
I wish his performance on Saturday had been as solid as his one in the jury final on Friday.
Yeah,
because he sounded darn good on the Friday show, and was just not quite there on Saturday. I don't know how big of a difference it would have made, but I mean, he got no points, so anything would have been an improvement. Speaking of no points, the UK, obviously there have been a lot of takes on this. The take that I like the most is from an MP up in Scotland, whose name I also didn't write down. Or wait, did I? Yes, I did. It's Alan Smith, or possibly Alan Smith. He's the MP for Stirling, in what his Twitter profile calls the heart of Scotland, whatever that means.
I've been to Stirling. It's lovely.
Ah, well.
Yes.
This is the person from there, and basically suggested that Scotland be a bit more involved throughout a few things, including potentially the nations of the UK competing separately, which is going to be a tough sell, but
yeah,
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I mean, you have Wales competing independently at junior, and supposedly Alba, so Scotland has considered it as well, or at least maybe dipping their toe in.
Would that break them up enough to no longer be considered Big Five then?
Right, that's a big question right there.
Or would England be considered Big Five and the others would not? I honestly don't know the demographics.
Especially you know, junior and senior are two very different things. And also considering the fact that the broadcaster that sponsors Wales at junior is specifically a Welsh broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotland, it would be BBC Alba. So it's not like the pan UK broadcaster. It is a specific regional broadcaster. And junior, you can kind of do things differently than you can at senior.
There's no semis.
Right. Also, like, I would absolutely be up for a bit more Scottish influence at senior. We have not had a Scottish singer representing the UK since 1988. Scott Fitzgerald coming second place to Celine.
F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Yeah. Zelda on backing. Yeah. But we haven't had a Scottish act since then.
Another suggestion I saw, I think this was just our buddy Ross, and not a official thought from the British government, unless he's in the government. I don't think he is. I don't know him that well.
He works for the NHS, so I guess he can kind of.
Okay. All right. So this is official then. the suggestion, I thought this was fairly, and why would the BBC relinquish any amount of control? But I do kind of like this idea. What if they treat it the way Belgium does?
Oh, and just rotate it around the constituent nations?
Yeah, let England do it 1 year. Let Scotland do it the next.
Let Northern Ireland do it 1 year.
I mean, suddenly you see this starting to kind of unravel a bit. But I like the idea of maybe letting some of these other organizations throw their hat in the ring a bit if the current powers that be are willing to acknowledge that what they're doing isn't working. But
that's a big ask.
I know, that's the thing. I like that idea a lot in theory.
Yeah, spread the wealth around.
What have you got to lose?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't possibly do worse points wise than what happened this year.
And I keep thinking,
deservedly or not.
I keep thinking if they want to save money, I mean, there's plenty of young acts out there, young stage directors, young, you know, artists who could get involved in these things and put something together on the cheap and still look good and have fun with it. And it wouldn't be a big investment on their part. Instead of just kind of playing coy with the whole thing and trying to send something middle of the road, I don't know. It seems like they could have more fun with it and just not have to worry so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what Germany does. Just do whatever.
Yeah. Put together a great national final and then send Sisters. Wait, hang on. One other bit of news on the topic of things that didn't work out. Eurovision Asia, which has been talked about for I don't even know how long, is officially not happening. We got word of that today. That they're not going to do it.
I mean, honestly, I was, they had announced the plans for this a couple years ago, at least 3 or 4 years ago, and nothing had really coalesced into anything real or tangible. We hadn't really gotten much of a confirmation of anything. Honestly, it kind of made me a little bit gun shy about the possibility of an American competition, knowing that Eurovision Asia didn't really coalesce into a thing. So I'm still a little gun shy, but I'm sad to see this not take off. But you know, it doesn't mean that there's not great music out there. And I know that there are other smaller festivals that are, you know, there's the ABU contest and the ABU festival, which is more radio based. But yeah, it's Eurovision is something really special. It's hard to kind of just copy and paste this format into another culture. I look at that and I look at the potential lessons for bringing this over into the United States. You can't just copy and paste this format into the United States. And I worry that the original intent of what I was reading about Eurovision Asia was a little bit too copy-paste. And it just didn't quite take.
And K-pop is indomitable. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, yeah. South Korea would be the new Ireland. And everybody else would get pissed off. And yeah.
I do think I am a little worried about America Vision because it's like, oh, we're going to do all 50 states and the territories. And we're going to like do this whole thing. And I'm just like, this is wildly ambitious for a first go run.
For a first time. Yeah. Eurovision at least got to start out with what? 9 countries?
7 or 9. Yeah. Very small.
And, I mean, they almost should do it like by region.
I had to wonder. Or maybe something. The smaller states. Vermont and New Hampshire, you're going together. I know you won't like it, but you're going together.
Congratulations, you're now a new Vermonster.
I know Dave was talking about doing something like kind of looking at college football and breaking them up by like different territories because, you know, like team loyalty isn't necessarily adhering to state lines.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's right. America Vision's Big Ten will also frustratingly have 12 teams in it.
And New Jersey for some reason. Also, that's 2 Eurovision football comparisons in one show.
Nice.
By the way, you will not get that anywhere else.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah. We bring you the content that no one dares to make.
American football, by the way.
Right.
Well, yeah. I do have to say, guys, are we... It's basically the end of the Eurovision season. So we're not going on a hiatus, exactly, but...
Oh, definitely not.
No. Over the next few months, you're going to be getting fewer episodes, but oh boy, we ain't going away.
Yeah, we'll make them count. I suspect we will not have an episode next week and then be back the week after, and that'll be the schedule for at least a little bit. If we have if we have the time, if we have some cool ideas, you know, we'll record stuff. But yeah, for at least a little bit until we get into September when it's officially Eurovision season and we'll have our junior previews and things like that. It'll be a little bit more sparing so that we can, you know, breathe and live our lives and all that. But we'll be around. We would never abandon you, 12 Points listeners. Isn't that right, Derek?
Yeah.
Perfect. But yeah, this is a perfect time for us to kind of explore different topics and kind of play around with things. Maybe do a deep dive into earlier years. Again, keep peppering us with your fun questions. We love answering them. We love doing our question and answer shows. And we do those best when you send us those ideas. So again, hit us up at 12pointsUSA on Facebook or Twitter. Email your questions or comments to us at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Who knows, maybe we'll be doing some interviews coming up and all sorts of exciting times. But yeah, I need sleep.
Put her down, Eric.
What?
Well, until next time, folks, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I'm tired.
I'm Danny.
In America,
stop listening now.
Going out on a long shot. I'm really playing the long game here. High risk, high reward. Reserving all of the hotels on Sardinia.
All of them.
Then you can sell them back for
Until they kick you out and double the price.